This is Shannon Ray Davis, and you are listening to Omega Man Radio. Welcome to my world, the world of the Omega Man. Join us here for the nightly marathon, broadcasting Monday through Friday. You can find us here on YouTube, and we encourage you to report for duty. Get trained up. War of the Saints is coming. You want to be an overcomer and endure till the end. We will teach you how. We cast out devils. We command healing to the sick in Jesus' name. And we preach the full gospel of Jesus Christ to win souls for Jesus. I want to encourage you right now to subscribe right here on YouTube to this channel. Smash the like button and share a link to our live chat room to everyone you know right there on Facebook. Get them to come on out and tune in and join in the fight against the host of hell. If you'd like to support this work financially, we have a PayPal button on our website. We have GoFundMe, Zelle, even Take Bitcoin. And we thank you in advance for partnering with us. Our website is OmegaManRadio.com. One more thing before we start tonight's show. To the demons tuning in, we're coming for you, demon. No demon is safe.
Hello there, Brother John. Good evening to you, my friend.
Yeah, Brother Shannon, back on together. It's a real privilege and nice for a change. How long has it been?
Since we did our last show? Let me think here. I have to look that up.
You came back. You returned, I believe, right? Haven't we done a show together?
Yes, sir.
Since you returned?
Yes, we did. Let me think here, though. When was our last program? Yes, sir. I'll tell you what. Hang on. We did one on March 27th.
Yes. Okay.
So I was back by that time. Yes, sir. It's been almost a month since I went abroad. What a great trip it was. Of course, it's good to be back here in Bali, see the fam again, and we're back on full marathon mode, folks. Monday through Friday, we're doing our show 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern. Wednesday is international shows. And Brother John, we just released a new thing, a new old thing. We're back to doing the Saturday night deliverance broadcast. So every Saturday night, 8 to 10 Eastern, we'll take calls for anybody who wants to make their way to the phones and get some prayer. And so we launched that last Saturday night, had a pretty good show of people. So praise the Lord. And we're trying to put the sword to the demon every chance we get. You know, Brother John, I'm sure you would agree. The best defense is a good offense. So better to put the enemy to the sword than wait for him to come and knock on you and I's door, because he's not going to quit. And there's no neutral territory with the devil. We're either hitting him or he's going to hit us, so which is it going to be? I'd rather put him on the run than him making me run. What do you think?
Yes, exactly. And, you know, as Derek Prince so wonderfully points out, brother, the one miracle that the Old Testament prophets never did, that Jesus ushered in, was deliverance. You never see, or hardly ever see, deliverance under the old covenant. But when Jesus came to earth, when God sent his only begotten Son to this planet where we live, the hallmark was deliverance. And brother, what's sad is most churches aren't doing it. But we are. Praise God for that, brother.
Amen. You're right. You know, Jesus said, if I by the finger of God cast out devils, the kingdom of God is coming to you. So I believe the reason there was no deliverance is the kingdom of God had not come yet. Jesus had not arrived. And that started deliverance, the children's bread. And that was 2,000 years ago. What is our excuse today when we've had the ability to get set free for 2,000 years and most churches want nothing to do with it? Well, I would say they've got a lot of answering to do. Those pastors of the flocks that are not doing what Jesus said do. I call that dereliction of duty. What do you think?
Wow. Yeah, it's a military phrase, and brother, I love it. It's it at the end of Jesus's ministry, he's described as crying over the city of Jerusalem. I would have gathered you as a, how does he put it, as a mother hen gathers her chicks, and then he says, he makes this statement, startling, but you would not. And brother, I really think that that's the problem, is most Christians, average Christians that I run into, they would not. They don't want it. You know, after meeting Pastor Worley, it was something that, wow, let's do some damage. Let's really get the brethren set free. And brother, this the difficult hump I had to get over was I discovered most Christians don't want it. I you know where State College, Pennsylvania is, right?
No, sir.
You've heard about it. It's about central Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And it's where it's obviously a college town. It's where this it's where Pennsylvania State is, and not University of Pennsylvania. That's in Philadelphia. That was, I believe, yeah, that's an Ivy League school. And this is Penn State. So I went down there, small group meetings, about a half a dozen times. And brother, what are the what are the mathematical probabilities? Every time I was down there, the pastor that several of the people that they're in the group listening to the full gospel, gleaning from the full gospel, getting freedom. Every time I asked to see the pastor, he was gone. He was on vacation. He was on a break. He was busy or whatever. Not one time would he even meet with me. You know, I'm old enough to remember, I don't know if you are, brother, but the Maytag repairman, you remember him?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and of course the motif there was simple. He just sat there bored by his phone because he was hardly getting any calls because a Maytag washing machine never breaks. Never breaks down. And that's kind of what I felt like. I felt like a spiritual Maytag repairman sitting by my phone waiting for these pastors to call me, and they never call me. And again, just indicative of the leadership that they don't want it. Because, brother, if they admitted that there was one person in their congregation that had one demon, forget about the 2 to 3 legions each person has. You know, 12 to 18,000 spirits. A Roman legion was 4 to 6,000. Men, Italians, Roman soldiers. And they're not going to admit that. They don't want to hear that. Because if there's one demon in one person, then there's a, wait a minute, that completely destroys my paradigm that Christians have demons. That's impossible. And, brother, you and I know it is not, but as you put it so poignantly, it's dereliction of duty. It really is.
And I'll tell you one more. Sad. Not only are they going to give an answer to the Lord Jesus Christ, churches that don't cast out demons that are in dereliction of duty, but you know what? They might get cursed like Meraz. Judges 5:23. Curse ye Meraz. said the angel of Yehovah, curse ye bitterly the inhabitants thereof, because they came not to the help of Yehovah, to the help of Yehovah against the mighty. You don't hear about that one preached that often, Brother John, but there was a city that did not come to the help of the Lord. When the rest of Israel was out there fighting for their very lives against the enemy, this city sat on their haunches. Decided to be Quakers, if you will. Or, I'm not getting in this battle. And you know what? God did not let that go unnoticed. The angel of the Lord actually cursed them, because they would not man and woman up there and report for duty. I don't think that's a one-time verse. I think we could be in danger today, both as churches and individuals, when we are not standing up and doing our duty. Jesus commanded many times to cast out devils. He said it was the first sign that would follow them that believe. And when we're not casting out demons, what has happened? Those demons are killing, stealing, and destroying, and taking people out in body bags. And how many times, Brother John, have we heard mainstream churches give reports that a pastor suicided, or the son of Rick Warren suicided after a board game one evening? And you hear these quips like, well, they were suffering mental illness. No, they were suffering from demons, and you didn't do your job and cast them out. And you got blood on your hands, because when people don't do their job, the demons will do their job, and they're playing for keeps. And they want to take us all in a body bag. Who's going to stand in the gap for people that are being slaughtered out there by the enemy, who goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour? We've got no excuse. And I would even go as far as the Lord Jesus may cast some of them right into hell. Back to you, my friend.
Yeah, I'll never forget. I was still living in Dallas, Dallas-Fort Worth area. And there was a very popular Bible teacher. I liked him. I thought he was a really good communicator. You know, did pretty sound exegesis of Bible exposition of God's word, and I really did. His name was Bob George, but he was into what I call hyper grace. In Scripture, I always see what I call a biblical balance, that critical balance between truth and grace. Truth and mercy. John 1, I think, is the description given of Jesus, that he was the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Because too much truth is too hard, too much grace and love is too soft. There's got to be a balance. And of course, our goal is to be like Jesus. That's what Paul acknowledges, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that God the Father has predestinated us to be conformed to the image of His Son. And Jesus, grace and truth. Go to the Old Testament, you'll see grace and truth mixed in many verses. And that is our, to be like Jesus, that is our goal in life. In fact, I believe that's an indicator of true spiritual maturity in Christ, is when you attain that biblical balance. And it's so important. And Bob George, I'll never forget listening to him one night. I didn't listen to him every night. I didn't have the time. And I think I'd already graduated, and was in business and had a growing family. It ended up that I heard him on the radio. He said Satan was defanged at the cross. He's not that big of a threat anymore. At the cross, at Calvary, His power was diminished markedly. And I'm thinking to myself, I almost called in, but he usually had a program that there'd be a lot of callers. You'd have to wait online. And it was an evening that I was had other things going, and I just couldn't take the time or make the time. I think Brother Bob went to heaven about 10 years ago. And but he was, sadly, he was a very good Bible teacher. But he erred. You know, you don't have to confess your sins anymore as Christians, and everything's grace, 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 grace. And believe me, I am a strong believer in grace. But there's the balance. Remember what I said, between grace and truth. And I'm thinking to myself, Brother Shannon, I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute. If what he says is true, then Peter, which was written, his epistle was, first epistle was written way later after Calvary, you know, during the first century, but, you know, it's a considerable number of years, several years after Calvary. Why does he write about the devil? And you just alluded to the verse that he prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may, Brother Shannon, whom he may
devour.
Yeah.
Eat.
I think Brother George should change the phrase there, or the words there, to be seeking whom he may gum.
You know, he doesn't know the word of God. What's he going to do with what Jesus himself said in the book of Revelation, where Satan makes war on the saints to wear them out? Wear them out. What are we going to do with what the Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, says when he describes the warfare that we found ourselves in? Ephesians 6, the weapons of our warfare. We're in war. Last time I looked, there are people dying from suicide, drug overdose, premature death, a whole host of demonic attacks. And while we've been given the weapons to fight back, that's exactly what we must do if we want to survive, is fight back and engage the enemy. If there was no war to fight, then Jesus would not have said for us to cast out the devils. He would have taken care of that at the cross, which clearly he did not. He made it available, but we have to appropriate it. We've got the tools that we need, the opportunity to receive salvation, deliverance, healing in many cases, but it's got to be appropriated. It's not automatic. That tells me that guy never cast out his first demon. And he would probably run if he was asked to come up and grab a leg at Hagwish or at Agape Bible Fellowship on a Saturday night deliverance.
Yeah. You know, Pastor Worley, Pastor Worley used to say that. And, you know, if a demon appeared to an average church member, they'd run the other way. You and I would stand there and point our index fingers and say, "The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. We bind you in the name of Jesus Christ, of Jesus of Nazareth. And we command you in his mighty name." I mean, hello? Why?
Well, you know,
the reason is because we're used to battling.
He knows the truth now.
But most Christians are not.
He lost some of his reward, Brother John. He's in heaven now. And what's he going to do? He had that opportunity to train others to fight the enemy and to set the captives free himself. He's missed his reward on that one. And I don't know what he said to the Lord Jesus Christ when he was called to the carpet. But it didn't go good for him. Let me put it like that. Probably rebuked.
And sadly, that's the testimony of most Christians who I meet. Thank God for those. Listen, I praise God for those climbing on board. And I praise God for those who are sticking with this stuff, as Pastor Worley drilled into us, telling us to stick with the stuff, stick with the stuff, stick with the stuff. We just finished our last workshop. I mean, the last one that we had a couple of weeks ago, and it was a great workshop, good turnout, and you know, it's nice to be in a church and a group where people don't like to leave because, you know, we have to have an ending, and they love to hang with each other. They love to get free with each other. And it's not a one-man show like some of these people. And that's another thing that Pastor Worley taught us. You know, he was gone a lot. I've been gone quite a bit over these many years. And, you know, I'm comfortable that I can leave the church, have one of my men do the teaching, preaching, and I can leave the church knowing that it's in good hands. Knowing that they're all trained in how to pray with one another. Since the COVID hoax, it was tremendous attrition. We had a couple of key people graduate to heaven. That didn't help us. It's a small army. We don't have a huge army. The numbers in this ministry aren't attracted by this ministry, by what we're doing. I mean, if you want the numbers, you gotta get into something else. And I thank God I lost that. You know, that I gotta see numbers. Gotta see numbers. I just drew the conclusion that it's, I want quality, not quantity, because I'm not gonna get quantity. It's just reality. And, you know, Pastor Worley, in when I came into this back in the heyday, it was different. There weren't as many ministries out there. And, Pastor Worley was traveling. So, people were, and the books were going out and so forth and so on. And there were quite a number of people. It's not that way anymore. And the attrition is incredible. But I'm going for quality believer, not quantity believer. And as we race into these end times, we need this. We need the full gospel, because the devil has made it so that you're either with David or you're with Goliath. Take a choice. There's no middle ground anymore. You know, you're either woke or you're awakened as to all the lies and all the false teachings and everything that's going on. And the worst thing is it's in the church. You know, Dave Hunt, I think about 15 years ago. Brother Shannon, are you familiar with Dave Hunt's materials?
Yes, sir.
He started out in the early 80s with The Seduction of Christianity, and then Beyond Seduction. And the ministry is still going. Praise God, Berean,
yes.
Ministry.
Many
now,
great
they don't,
books.
They don't agree with us. I can tell you right now, they don't agree with us. But I praise God for Dave Hunt, because he wrote a book, brother. I hope you've read it, called The Occult Invasion. And it's not the occult invasion in society, in the world. It's occult invasion in the church. And it is as prolific as Derek Prince's books. And Derek's magnum opus, Christian Foundations. But I'm telling you, it is worth its weight in gold. Anyone listening out there that has never read Occult Invasion, go to agapebiblebr.com and order it. It is outstanding with what he comes out with, including an entire chapter on, sadly, a number of evangelical pastors and people in solid churches broadcast on the radio. You know, quote Mother Teresa. And he goes into an entire chapter exposing Mother Teresa. And you won't believe some of the things that she was involved in. And just worth its weight in gold. That chapter alone is worth this book, The Occult Invasion, because back 20 years ago, the occult, Satan had invaded the church. And Brother Shannon, by and large, it's because they never tackle the demons in them.
Right. Exactly right. You know, I'm reminded of the book of Numbers. 33, 55 says, "But if ye will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which ye let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your side, and shall vex you in the land wherein ye dwell. Moreover, it shall come to pass that I shall do unto you as I thought to do unto them." Now, I know that there was a very well physical application of this when God told the Israelites, Brother John, to go in and take the land back. And we see some of the battle that continues today with modern-day Israel and, you know, modern-day versions of these Philistines and Amalekites. But I believe there's also a spiritual application that if we don't pursue deliverance, the very thing that we let remain in us will ultimately manifest itself and try to destroy us and be a prick in our eye, a thorn in our flesh, and vex us. Is that not a good picture of what demons do? They vex people. Thorns in their flesh, pricks in their eyes. We're called to take the land back. And if we don't get deliverance, then those squatters are going to remain in and systematically plot our demise. Thank you for mentioning Dave Hunt's book. I never read that one. Can we order that from you? Do you got that in stock?
I do not have it in stock, but I probably can get it if there are enough people who want it. So, again, go to agapebiblebr.com. At least get The Occult Invasion. It's back in print. I praise God for that. And then I'll see what I can do about getting that. So I'll let people know on the next program, brother.
And, oh, that's great.
So thank you. Yeah, Dave Hunt, I really love. I was in Germany back several years ago, and he had just, obviously before he passed, he had just been there at this really nice Christian resort in the Bavarian province. I flew into Frankfurt, and we spent several days in the entire week in this resort. And I got to tell the story because it's so exposing of so many Christians, sadly. But we had determined there were teachings during from Monday and pastoral counseling. Myself and another brother in the Lord who actually was German himself. He and his wife for many, many years, decades, had been missionaries in Indonesia. And I think it was near the capital and Jakarta. But they're the ones who invited Pastor Worley out, I think five times total, to Indonesia to speak and bring the full gospel of Jesus Christ. So I stayed with them the night before my flight left Frankfurt and had dinner with them. But he of course could speak language, Deutsch, German. I could not, and so I needed an interpreter. And this wonderful gal was out there interpreting for me. As I was there, as I said, Dave Hunt was there, I want to say 3 weeks before I arrived. And Thursday, we did the mass deliverance. And I was going to be doing it. So it ended up that dinner the night before, because I didn't want to eat the entire Thursday in preparation for the mass deliverance, the group deliverance. And I asked the food director or director of the of food cafeteria, whatever they call it. And I said, I personally count me out as far as having any anything to eat that night. I wouldn't mind some finger foods after maybe 10 o'clock, 10:30 there, but that's all. And then as people heard me say that, they decided that they didn't want to eat either because they wanted to fast and pray in preparation. So the director indicated, came up to me and said, I can't believe this. And I queried, believe what? She says, I've never had Christians here that don't want to eat. I laughed. And I said, well, we're doing it for a spiritual service purpose. And it's a privilege and an honor because we want to get as much freedom as we can. And as the Lord said, these come out only by some come only out by prayer and fasting, And so I wanted to lead the way. Others found out. They followed me. And then she came out with that comment. But brother, it was powerful and God worked. But yeah, that Dave Hunt book, I don't know if The Seduction of Christianity and then the second follow-up Beyond Seduction is still in print. However, if it is, I'll get it. And as I said, maybe by the next broadcast, I will have some good news on that.
That's fantastic. We're live with Pastor John Gogan, if you're just joining us. Back over to you, my friend.
Yeah, I wanted to excellent flow of the Holy Spirit here. I'd like everyone to turn to Jeremiah. This is what the Holy Spirit put on my heart. Jeremiah chapter 48 and verse 10. Go to the prophet Jeremiah, major prophet in the Old Testament. And by the way, the major and minor prophet differentiation has nothing to do with one's more important than the other. They're all important. They were all inspired by God the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. But when it says major, it just means the book's bigger. Minor, it means there may be only three chapters or five chapters or two chapters. It's just smaller in size. So please don't confuse any of that major and minor prophets with that one's more important than the other. Jeremiah is more important than Nahum. No, not at all. It has nothing to do with that. Just size of the books, that's it. So Jeremiah chapter 48, verse 10, if you're driving, of course, or if you're in a situation that you can't turn to the Bible, into the Word of God, then don't worry about it. Just listen closely as I read it. Jeremiah chapter 48 and verse 10. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Word of God. It begins with the word, the verse begins with the word cursed. Cursed be the one, I'm reading out of the New American Standard, NAS, who does Yahweh's work negligently. Did you hear what that verse said? What God is telling us there? Cursed be the one who does the Lord's work negligently. Now, you know the difference when you're doing something half-heartedly. That's an adverb that's pretty common here in the United States, half-heartedly. You're doing it even maybe begrudgingly. You're doing it because you have to do it. Or it's expected of you to do it. Let's finish the verse. And cursed be the one who restrains his sword from bloodshed. You know the difference when you're doing something with all your heart because you enjoy it. When you're doing something with everything you've got, because you enjoy it. you delight yourself, Psalm 37:4, in the Lord, in Yahweh, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So when you find your delight in the Lord, in the triune God of Israel, in the Lord Jesus Christ, anything that you desire that's good and godly is from the Lord. He'll give you, that's a promise there. So piggybacking this onto verse 10, that there's a curse that comes your way, there's a curse that comes my way. When we don't do the work of the Lord with everything we've got, not good news. What's the import of that? Well, the import of that is that we need to be repenting of it. And in Jesus' mighty name, break the curse that's stated here, that's active in our lives and in our descendants' lives, in Jesus' mighty name. People, this is the great thing about Calvary. I think when we get to the, you know, far into eternity, we will barely have learned all that Calvary accomplished. All that the cross, in fact, forever we're going to be learning more and more of what Jesus' death on Calvary, on the cross, accomplished. With his shed blood. Well, Pastor John, what does that mean in the second part of the verse? Are we supposed to be going out and murdering people? Shedding blood? Well, the idea here is battling. Battling in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for the glory of heaven and for the to do God's will, to do God's agenda. But remember Ephesians 6, Brother Shannon referenced it earlier. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul identifies, beginning in verse 10, he identifies who our true enemy is. It's not your husband, it's not your wife, it's not your children, it's not your boss at work, it's not your co-workers. Who is energizing them? And if it's righteous persecution, because of the name of Christ that you're bearing and you're carrying, you're going to be rewarded for that. And understand, though, that it's the enemy within these people. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. In the Greek, it's blood and flesh, actually. It's reversed. We're not wrestling against human beings, people. When we're seeing draconian laws here in the United States, Pat, when we're seeing things that aren't making any sense, the enemy is behind that, operating within these people, these men and women. You know, when the platform in a specific party says it's okay to kill babies, no matter what age, now in California, you can even kill them right after they're born. And there are some who have tried to bounce off to see how people would respond to kill a baby 6 months after the baby is born. You don't want the baby anymore. And then if you're up on things, you read about how they will take these babies' heads and keep them functioning and alive to do experiments on them. Can you imagine how Hitlerian this is? How World War II human experiments, man's inhumanities to man, to innocent children. And I don't even have time to get into the whole adrenochrome thing. But that's real. That's going on. Probably as I speak and as you listen now. That's one of the reasons for keeping the southern border in the United States open. So they get fresh children that they can traffic. Never, ever in my lifetime did I think we could get to this point so quickly. But it's happening. It's the enemy within these people. And I'm not saying they shouldn't stand, you know, the justice should not be brought to them. I hope it will soon. I know it is behind the scenes with some of them. However, ultimately, it is the devil's minions. It is the devil's henchmen who are responsible. And you must know the keys of the kingdom of heaven that Jesus references is binding and loosing. Walk up to the average Christian and ask him what it means. They have no clue. And I praise God for Pastor Worley's faithfulness in getting these teachings out, and of course Derek Prince and others, Frank Hammond. The keys of the kingdom of heaven. I tell people, if you got a car out there, I don't care if it's $60,000 in the parking lot without your keys, you don't have the expertise to start it. It is a worthless pile of junk. Gee, kind of sounds like the EVs, huh? It is a worthless pile of junk. By the way, I would never own an EV. I would never drive in an EV. You know the electrical radiation you're surrounding yourself with constantly? With these batteries? And I remember reading about some guy who purchased one used. The battery went some years later, and it's going to cost him to replace the battery more than he paid for the vehicle when new. You know, whoever paid for it when they bought it new, and he eventually ended up with it for a markedly depreciated price. It's not worth it. And now they got to get rid of the batteries, and they're almost impossible to put out when they catch fire. Who comes up with these things? Who is our real enemy in so many of these areas that too many people blindly follow, and the enemy within them deceives them into thinking it's okay? And it's not. So be willing, if I can put it this way, with Jeremiah 48:10b, if you divide the verse A and B, 10b, we got to be shedding demonic blood. Obviously, that's a metaphor. We got to be pursuing the enemy. When you die, when you finally graduate to heaven because it's time to go home, how much is the devil going to party when you go? Will he even notice your name? How well does he know you? Were you a burr in his saddle? And every time he heard your name, he ordered the demons to not mention you because you were such a problem for him. Or will he metaphorically or proverbially just yawn when you pass? She wasn't any threat to me. He wasn't any threat to me. He was only a legend in his own in her own mind. Legends in their own minds. But not in terms of what Jesus thought of them or what the Father thought of them or what the enemy thought of them, because they weren't much of a threat. And people, I encourage men of God, women of God, I encourage you, learn to fight the full gospel with all the weapons and tools that we have at our fingertips. One of the first books I read after crying out to God for help because my ministry was failing. I had only been at it for about a year, a little over a year. And God was, you know, pulling so many crutches out from under me. I think, what is going on? Move back to Texas, move back to New England, where I'm originally from, with my family, wife and three children. What is going on here? I'm glad I didn't, because even though it was tough and rough, I stuck with it. And I said, God, I'm just having to learn to trust you through it. But it's been an arduous journey. I'll be the first to admit that, to acknowledge that. But the Lord has been faithful throughout everything. And he'll be faithful to you as well, no matter what you're facing. But don't give up the battle. Don't run back to the barracks, get under the covers, and feel sorry for yourself. No, you get out there and fight. You be, as Brother Shannon said, be on the offensive. The greatest offense, I think he said, is
attack the enemy. The greatest thing, sword.
Attack the. Yeah, the greatest thing we can do is be on the offense. That's the best defense. Hit them. Ambush them. If they're ambushing you, ambush them. I threaten these demons with, you know, I'm going to send 100 angels your way. Angels you used to serve heaven with. The third heaven, that is. You know them well. And you're embarrassed now because you rebelled. 100 angels for every one demon. To pour buckets and buckets and buckets of the blood of Jesus down their scrawny throats. People, we are at war. But the war and the blood we need to be shedding, of course, is spiritual. I do not return curses back on people. Jesus said, Paul echoed him, love those who curse you.
Amen.
Do good to those who despitefully use you and persecute you. So shall you prove by those actions to be sons of my Father who is in heaven. I mean, these are the, you can't, you know, dance around them. You can't get around that. I return curses back a thousandfold, a millionfold on the heads of the sending demons.
Yes.
They're the ones who are ultimately giving those thoughts within the witch doctor's mind or the witch coven's mind or spiritists, Roman Catholic convents. Yeah. So hit them back. Don't settle for it. Don't run the other way. Brother, what was that great verse you, Numbers 23, what?
Numbers 33. Numbers 33, 55 to 56.
55, right? Those are outstanding verses. Write them down. Numbers 33, 55, and 6.
55 to 56, and then also
yep.
Judges 5:23, where it talks about Meraz and the ramifications of not reporting for duty and casting out these demons.
Excellent verses, people. Memorize them. Repeat them before other people, other Christians, other brethren. And tell them, get on the stick. And that the battling can be done on an individual level. The battling can be done on a national level for your nations. So many Christians believe, you know, don't talk about religion. Don't talk about politics. Why not? We should be. If Jesus says, you're the light of the world because you're plugged into me, you're the salt of the earth, we got to be salty. And salt on a wound, in a wound, burns. It hurts. But it's cleansing that wound so it can heal. Try to explain that to a child. You'll never get anywhere. You just got to do it. Adults can understand. That's why some people go to the ocean, because it's salt water, and they notice their wounds heal quicker. But we must not put down the swords. We must use them in the battle. We must employ them constantly. You'll never last if you're not memorizing scripture. I praise God for my older sister. She's memorized the book of entire book of Philippians, 1 John, the entire book of 1 John, Ephesians, the entire book of Ephesians, and I think one other book. People, you can do it. You say, I can't. I've tried. I can't even keep a half a verse. That's because you also have to get these demons out. Mind control, occult mind control, spirits of the world, whoever is blockages. We run into blockage and obstruction spirits, blocked Bible memorization, blocked understanding. Again, part of the Christian life, pursuing. It's the children's bread, spiritual bread for God's kids. Mark 7:27, and I believe Matthew 15, in the counterpart verse, comparative verse rather. You've got to be having truth bouncing off the walls of your brain. Constantly, continually. Also, as Paul says, pray without ceasing. Always be in a state of prayer. And especially binding and loosing prayer. That means tying up and untying. We untie angels to help us in the battle. We untie people to help get them free, as well as ourselves. Binding means tying up. That's all it means. And as the late Frank Hammond, I think it's in the book, The Saints at War. Again, you can get the late Frank Hammond's books here in the book room, agapebiblebr.com. We carry a lot of his materials. The only area I disagree with Brother Frank is in the area of demons manifesting.
Right.
I agree with Pastor Worley. Interrogate them. Yes. You're not divining it. You're not divining information. The only thing you're doing is interrogation in order to help someone get free and stay free. That's all you're doing.
Amen.
So learn these principles, and you can do that at Omega Man Radio. And by the way, I broadcast every Sunday for 4 hours.
On YouTube?
Every Sunday for Facebook? 4 hours. No. Some of my messages that I've spoken at Hagelwisch are on YouTube, and I think someone has put some of my messages. But I am actually on Facebook. You'll find me at Agape Bible Church East Aurora, Agape Bible Fellowship. And we're on at noon Eastern time. Eastern, I think it's daylight time now. And noon, sometimes I'm a couple of minutes late. I apologize, usually, always. And unexpected call or just, you know, had some things go on in the morning. But usually approximately noon until 4. Maybe a little bit after, because we take breaks, like before my message from God's Word, we'll take a break. The sheep like to go out to pasture. 15 minutes turn into 30 this past Sunday, and I apologize for that. But we're back on, and it's about three and a half hours, and you can get actually hands-on. Well, not hands-on. You're not local here in the live audience, but you can get practical freedom. And we have a number of people who praise God for the freedom they're getting where they are. And across the board, across the nation, we have some people who listen on the West Coast. So that's 9 o'clock in the morning for them. That's why we start at noon. But take advantage of that on Facebook. And even if, like me, you're only on Facebook for that. That's it. Otherwise, I don't have an account. My wife has an account. I think within 2 days, over 200 people wanted me to be their friend. I don't mind being your friend, but I don't have time. I can't even keep up with what I'm doing now. So please forgive me, but that's just the way it is. But would love to see you. Also, if you want to help us out financially, keep the proverbial lighthouse up and running, please, by all means, contribute whatever God puts on your heart at agapebible.net, agapebible.net. agapebiblebr.com is the book room. agapebible.net is the church website. And there's a number of free things you can do there. No charge. We love you. It's on us. But if you can help us out and keep us going. And, of course, the same thing with Omega Man Radio. Brother Shannon spends a lot of time, a lot of effort. His family, wonderful family, sacrifices for him to be able to do these marathons and take the time. So reflect your appreciation in helping him also do that, do exactly that. I had something come up, and I apologize. I was supposed to be on tomorrow at 7 o'clock. However, Brother Shannon was very flexible, very kind, and was willing to put me on tonight. So a little different time, 9 o'clock, but it's a blessing to be with you. And if there's only one thing you walk away from tonight, having learned, or today, if you're in Brother Shannon's time zone, we're praising God that God is using us in your life. And that's my whole attitude for these halfway through my fourth decade now. All we are is one beggar. All I am, I'll make it personal, is one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. And that's it. That's all I'm about. And in short, and as I encouraged, if you're not if your sword's by your side and you've laid your weapons down, pick them back up. Ask God to forgive you and get in the battle. Fight with us, because people, these are the last days, and only the Lord knows, you know, how much time is left that it is day. Remember, he said, work, for the night is coming when no man can work. When it's completely pitch black, and we did catch the solar eclipse, we were within the 115-mile-wide total black out that occurred, and it was wonderful. But I noticed that when in the dark you can't mow, right? When it's in the dark you can't. That's not the time to change the oil in the car without, you know, replacement light, artificial light. You need light, and people, it is still light. Darkness is coming, and whatever you're going to do, do it now. Make your life count. When I got saved, my mid-teen years, from New England, from Boston, I learned a saying. I believe it was on my pastor's church bulletin. It said, one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last.
Amen.
Memorize that. Apply that in your life. You'll never regret it. Brother Shannon, thanks for having me
on. Great word today. Thank you, my friend. Pick up your weapon and get in the battle. I think would be a great title for today.
And yes.
My friend, we love and appreciate you. I'm going to see you again next Wednesday, the 24th at 7 p.m.
Yes, sir.
God bless you. Thank you for coming on tonight.
Love you in the Lord. Bye-bye.
Love you too, brother. Thank you, sir. Okay, folks, we're going to set up for our next guest. We've got Dr. Deborah Vels coming up next. Stand by as we connect. Here we go. I'm going to reset the MixLR.